Parshas Lachlan Chatzav Shanayim Beis, it says the following. It says, Hashem said to Avram, go from your land, from the place you were born, and from the house of your father, to the land that I will show you. Okay, so the line that's brought down by the Mesillas Yesharim is the following. He says that one person has to do Zehirus before Zerizus. That means that a person has to be very careful about not doing any Averus before he starts working on his mitzvos, let's say. You have to get away from something first, and then you can start working on yourself. You have to get around your base nature. Our base nature is to sin. Our base nature is to be lazy. Our base nature is to do anything. And then I say, Tov, here's the idea. Avram, you know, according to the Chiddush, the first Ger Rebbe says, is first to lechla from the Arzla. The first thing you have to do, the first avoda that you have, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's avoda, is get away from sin. Get away from your previous life, your gashmius, your parents, your all your friends, everybody that messed you over. First do that. First get yourself away from them. And then, then I can bring you to the land that I will show you, and it can be even better, that's when you'll be able to do the right things. And that's the concept. This is the Kedush Harim. Sometimes you just have to get out. Sometimes you just have to run away. You don't know exactly where you're going. You don't know exactly what will be. You don't know what's going to be good for you. You don't know what's going to be in the future. But sometimes you just have to get out. If you see yourself sinning, if you see yourself in a bad situation, you just run. You just get up, pick yourself up, and you run. That's the idea of what Avraham Avinu was told to do. Lech lech on the article. And if you do a be'emes, you'll find exactly what you're searching for. I thought that maybe that understands the very two world that Avraham Avinu lives in. Let's think of Avraham Avinu for a second. Haran and Ur Kasdim was a totally different world from when he came to Eretz Yisrael. Chazal tell us he used to go around knocking down Ovdei Avodah Zarah. He used to go up to people saying to every single one, they would go around, he would go around proselytizing people. Go up to them and say, you're doing this wrong, you're doing that wrong, why would you follow this God? That God is a nothing, that God is a nobody. To trying to be Makar, then he pulled in 318 Avodim, Nefesh Asherasu B'Haran, that all these people he's doing. He comes to Eretz Yisrael, and it's a totally different world. Yeah, he sits at the crossroads and he does Achnasas Orchim. He doesn't go out to the people trying to proselytize them. He doesn't even touch Sodom. Why doesn't he go to Sodom? Wouldn't that be the best place to try to get people for Kiruv? I mean, it's just the opposite. He stays back, relaxes, and lets the people come to him. What in the world was that? Why wouldn't he go out to them? And in fact, he kicks out Lot. And we're going to talk about Lot half in most of this parsha. He kicks out Lot. What are you kicking out Lot for? Lot is the guy who did something wrong. So help him. That's what you're here for, Avraham Avinu. That's your whole life. Your whole life is about helping people. But that's not what he did. And I thought that maybe that's the idea. When he was in Haran, in Ur Kasdim, his life was about Sur Meira. Get away from the evil. Convince others not to do Avodah Zarah. Convince them not to do things wrong. Get away from the bad things. That's the idea of what he was about. And he was even Moser Nefesh for it. Kill yourself not to be over in Avodah Zarah. While in Eretz Yisrael, that wasn't his avoda. That wasn't the service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His service was Asei Tov, to sit down and do the mitzvos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the idea of what he was supposed to do. Let others come to him. It's up to him to do mitzvos and chesed. And that was Hashem's Sivoy. Hashem's Sivoy at Lech Lecha is change your whole style of life. Up until you're 75, you've been living your life fighting and fighting and fighting and trying to make sure that people didn't do Avodah Zarah. Your life now is different. Your life now is going to be about doing the right thing. Change your style completely. And that's what Avraham Avinu was willing to do. I don't know how many people would be able to do that after 75 years of success, to be able to pick themselves up and say, now I'm going to change my life completely. For the next 100 years, I'm going to change my lifestyle completely.
Why do you say 75 years of success, though? Because he wasn't, as far as all the people that he was proselytizing, he was a failure.
He had somewhat success, and he was very successful at Ur Kasdim. There were times where he failed them, and at the end, he only had 318 of others. He didn't have thousands of others.
But at the very end, he had no one.
Maybe 318.
Where's 318?
And after Shiras Bukharan, it says he brought them with.
The opposite. No. But I'm saying at the very end, at the end of his life.
That's a different story. We're on a different story. What he was at the end of Bavel versus the end of Eretz Yisrael is totally different stories. That's the idea. The idea is that he changed at this point. Then it says that Avraham Avinu was never told where to go. That's the scariest thing in the world. Can you imagine picking up your family, going out somewhere, and not knowing where you're going? To the land that I will show you. The land that I'll show you in half that. And then when the hunger occurred in Eretz Yisrael, he assumed assumed that that was a sign that he has to leave Eretz Yisrael. Because he had no idea where he was supposed to go. Eretz Yisrael is a nice place. Eretz Canaan was a great place. But maybe he's supposed to go to Mitzrayim. Maybe that's where he's supposed to go. He had absolutely no idea. Maybe the Eretz, Asher Areka, is referring to Mitzrayim, and therefore he thought he had a job to do there. That's why he was willing to go, even though he knew there was a problem with Sarai Imenu. That Sarai was going to be looked at in a different way. And he knew that something was wrong, but he saw it as a sign from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's time for me to go. So he said, okay, I'm going to go. Why would he go and put his life in danger and put Sarai's life in danger? Here's the idea. Says the Netziv, he had a haftacha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'mekalelcha a'or. Those who curse you, I will curse. Which sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be on his side. He won't send him to die. That's what it sounds like. So he's not worried about himself. And then he looked over at Sarai. The Zohar says he saw a Malach together with Sarai wherever she went. Whenever she went somewhere, he saw a Malach right on top of Sarai. So he never had to worry about anything. He said, if the Malach's with her, it's not her that I'm worried about. It's really me. Because, yeah, Hashem promised me something, but I'm not so sure I'm allowed to put myself in danger. He said, the Malach will take care of Sarai. But what about me? And that's why he said to her, it's not you that I'm worried about. It's they're going to kill me and they're going to let you live. That's what I'm worried about. I don't want that to happen. So granted, the Ramban says it was a chet on Avraham Avinu's part. He should not have brought Sarai down to Mitzrayim, that she possibly could have been raped or something else could have happened to her. He shouldn't have done something. It was a chet according to Ramban, but it seems he had what to rely on. That's what the Netziv says. The Netziv argues with Ramban and says that it seems that he had what to rely on. Now Rashi says something crazy about Lot. At the end of the day, we know that Lot became a very, very powerful person in Avraham Avinu's camp. It says, Ki anashim achim anachnu. When there was a fight between the two, he says, I don't want there to be a fight between me and you. Between my shepherds and your shepherds. Because we are men that are brothers. Rashi says in his Dover Acher, cluster punim. They're diamond, they cluster punim. They looked alike. Avraham Avinu had a long white beard. Avraham Avinu had a face that looked like a tzaddik's face. Avraham Avinu was the one who was wearing long clothing, a tzaddik's clothing. Lot also. He had the payas, he had the white beard, he was wearing the tzaddik's clothing, and he looked like Avraham Avinu. He was his nephew. He looked exactly like Avraham Avinu. He was a chacham as well, though obviously not as great as Avraham Avinu. And his maisim were similar to Avraham Avinu. He did what Avraham Avinu did. Avraham Avinu became a shepherd, he became a shepherd. Avraham Avinu went down to Mitzrayim, he went down to Mitzrayim. Whatever he did something very, very similar. And but we said it in previous years. Lot was in it for the money. An old man who's really rich and he doesn't have any inheritors, you better believe I'm going with him. If he doesn't have anybody else inheriting him, who else do you think is going to inherit him? So Lot, yeah, 100% he went with. And that's why he became rich himself. He knew that he had to do that. Avraham Avinu was very hard to part from his nephew. Because Bachutz, on the outside, Lot seemed fine. He seemed like a great guy. Now we got to wonder, who was this guy Lot? Where did he come from? So let's go into the secretive part of Lot. The Gilgulim part of Lot. The Chidah says that Lot had within him the Kedusha of David HaMelech and Mashiach. We know that from his daughters. The daughters were together with Lot. They had Ammon and Moab as their children. Moab contains Rusa Moabiah. Rusa Moabiah is the progenitor of David HaMelech. Namaha Ammonis, she was from the line of Ammon, was a wife of Shlomo Melech. Again, a progenitor of Mashiach. You're going to eventually have two people that come from Lot that were parts of Mashiach. There was a Kedusha of Lot. Says the Chidah, they were right there within Lot. But not only did he have David HaMelech and Mashiach within Lot himself, within his body. Lot also contained the Neshama of Adam Rishon himself. Adam is the same gematria as Lot. Lot and Adam are both 45.
Don't we all?
I'm sorry?
Don't we all?
More so. And we'll explain a little bit more. Adam is Aleph Dalet Mem, Adam, David, Mashiach. That's what Lot had. Lot contained a little bit of each one of that. He was also the neshama of Rava. Rava of Rava and Abaye. The neshama of Rava, as we see from Rechusho ben Achiv, Reish Beis Aleph. Rechusho ben Achiv is also supposed to be the neshama of that, as well as from Hevel and from Moshe Rabbeinu Olam HaShalom. That's who Lot was. We've got David, Mashiach, Adam Rishon, Rava, Moshe Rabbeinu, and Hevel. That's who was together in Lot. All there. But it's a little bit different. Anybody know what the word Lot means in Aramaic? Light Allah Abaye is mentioned throughout the Gemaras. Light Allah Abaye is Abaye cursed the guy. The word Lot in Aramaic, which is where they were from Mesopotamia, Lot means cursed. That's what it refers to. Because the Tov of Adam Rishon, the good parts of the Neshama of Adam Rishon, they went to the Avos HaKadoshim, to Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. The bad parts of Adam Rishon, the Ra of Adam Rishon, went to Lot, Yishmael, and Esav. Lot, Keneged Avram, Yishmael, Keneged Yitzchak, Esav, Keneged Yaakov. He took on that Ra, that bad part of Adam Rishon, and that was his Panemius, an ability to do great things, an ability to be a tzaddik, an ability to be the greatest person of all time, because we all know what Esav could have been. We know what Yishmael could have been. Yishmael was Yishmael, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should listen to everything he says. But he, along with that comes a huge Yetzer Hara, a massive Yetzer Hara. In fact, the Sof HaTavis of Yishmael, Esav, and Lot is Lot, Lamed Vav and Tes. That's what Lot stood for. He was the end of everyone. He was the Sof of everybody. And that's what Lot was. Lot had that Ra of Adam Risha within him, in which he was purely evil on the outside, on the inside. And on the outside, he was able to conquer it if he wanted to. If he could be like Adam, like Avram Avinu, he could have conquered it, and he never did. Then it seems says when Avram Avinu became famous, people started coming to him for brachas, like a Rebbe. They came to him for advice. They came to him for Avram Avinu to daven for them. They came to him for tzedakah. They came to him to question him in chokhmah and elokus, to find out what God wants to say. Just to come up to him. He's a gadol. They went to Avram Avinu. Everybody started coming to Avram Avinu. That's why he was at the crossroads. Lot became the gabbai. Lot was the middleman. And he used to explain to them what Avram Avinu meant. He's been with Avram Avinu his whole life. His father died a long time ago by the Kibshon Eish. Haran died around then. Since then, he's been around Avram Avinu. He's hung around Avram Avinu the entire time. He started to realize what Avram Avinu was all about. So when people started listening to Avram Avinu and they heard an Eitzah, or they asked, can you daven for me? The person he went to was Lot. He was the gabbai. He was the guy you called up and you just said, is there any way for me to get into Avram Avinu? Is there anything that you can do for me? What can I do? What can I get in? That was the idea of who Lot was. He was the guy who did everything, and thus he got gifts. Because you give the gabbai a little bit of extra on the side to be able to get you in first. Lot became rich only because of Avram Avinu. That's the gam l'lot ha'holich as Avram. Also the Lot who went with Avram Avinu, he also had money. He became choshev because he was with Avram Avinu, because he became the gabbai of Avram Avinu. But he wasn't toho kiboro. And when his wealth collided with Avram Avinu's wealth, when their wealth went up against each other, that's when it caused some major, major problems. Now let's think. Boorish shepherds that are arguing with one another in the fields over where you can graze and where you can't graze, normally that's not an issue. I mean, is that big of an issue? You have a shepherd arguing with another shepherd. My shepherd said this, your shepherd said that. Who cares? I'm sure at some point a businessman who owns an entrepreneur, let's say, that owns a business, one of his workers is going to argue with another worker in another place, another entrepreneurship. I would assume that's going to happen at some point. That doesn't mean the two entrepreneurs have to quit business with one another just because their co-workers, the guys that are working for them, I shouldn't say co-workers, the workers that are underneath them are fighting. What difference does that make? But with Avram and Lot, it was totally different. There was a Chil Hashem involved. The Pasuk says specifically, V'Knani V'Aprizi Oz Yoshev Ba'aretz. It's in Pasuk Zion. When there was that fight, the Knani and the Prizi were living in the land. It says in Tzitz, it looked bad. There was a Chil Hashem. The Knani and the Prizi are living together. They're fine with one another. Everything's all good. But Lot and Avram and his shepherds are fighting. Lot, you should have stopped this. Avram and his said to his shepherds, stop fighting. And they said, we're not fighting. They're coming up to us and they're saying bad things to us. What do you want us to do? At that point of a Chil Hashem, two brothers fighting with one another said, Avram Avinu, get out. I have no choice anymore. Now you have to get out because of the huge Chil Hashem that's happening over here. Rabbi Yaakov points out, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky points out, such an unbelievable idea. I never realized this. Do you realize when Lot was captured by the four kings, in the next parak, the four kings come over, Carol, the Omer, Amraphel, etc. They capture Lot. Immediately, Avram Avinu hears about it. The poet, Og, comes by and says, Avram Avinu, Lot has been taken. Immediately he gets up and he runs. He runs to go save Lot. Does everything he can. He doesn't even put together a proper army. He's got 318 slaves. He's got nothing. He picks up dirt and he starts throwing it at the enemies. Thankfully, it turned into arrows. He does not. He just runs into the fight and says, no, you can't kill my brother. That's what he does. He's willing to be moser nefesh physically, and according to Chazal, even spiritually. He thought he lost all of his chelek in Olam Haba for having this miracle happen for him. He thought he lost all of Olam Haba for fighting for Lot, to try to get Lot back. And he was still willing to fight. He was still willing to go out there for Lot. He's willing to do anything, but he's willing to sacrifice his life. So how in the world are you kicking him out? How could you kick him out? If you're willing to do anything for him, you're willing to do anything you can, you're going to kick him out. You're the man of chesed. You're going to kick him out. Here's the idea. When he felt that his ruchnius was being affected, when he felt that there was a Chil Hashem that was happening, even though there was no direct fight between Lot and Avram Avinu, nothing happening between them, it was just between the shepherds. When the ruchnius goes down, when there's a Chil Hashem, get him out. That's the lesson that Avraham Avinu teaches us. That yeah, it's great to work on Kiruv and to try to bring people back and do everything. When there's a Chilul Hashem B'davar, get out. There is nothing to do at that point. It's not Kedai, and that's the lesson that Avraham Avinu teaches us. A really, really crazy lesson. But that's what happened with Avraham Avinu. The Chiddush takes it even further. The Riv was between the Rohan. But by Avram and Lot, it was not called a Riv. It was called a Meriva. What's the difference between a Riv, which is masculine, and a Meriva, which is feminine? The answer is, women become pregnant and get bigger. A Riv is not that big of a deal. But if a Riv turns into a Meriva, then it becomes a pregnant woman that gets bigger and bigger and bigger. Avraham Avinu was not afraid of the fight that was going on with the Rohan. He was afraid of the future of where the fight might lead to. If this is what they're fighting about now, who knows what's going to be later on? So Avraham Avinu tried. He said, I don't want this to get bigger, Lot. Come work with me on this one. And Lot didn't accept the Musar. The halacha is you have to stop giving Musar. But Lot was a gadol by this time. People were listening to Lot and they were asking him advice just like they were asking Avraham Avinu advice. In fact, Lot looked like Avraham Avinu, right? Nimrod captured him in war, and he's parading him around saying, I've got Avraham Avinu, I've got Avraham Avinu. Remember Avraham Avinu that I threw in the kitchen nation? He beat me? Well, now I beat him. Look who I got. And that's one of the reasons why Avraham Avinu had to fight. He was a gadol by this time. People thought he was Avraham Avinu. You can't just leave him alone. You can't just let him be. Chasson, you let be Matami other people. He's got the beard. He looks like a tzaddik. He's got the pace. He's got everything else. So Avraham Avinu said, I've got an Eitzah. I've got advice for you. Listen to this Eitzah. You ever heard of Rabbi Eloy's famous advice to somebody who feels like he has to do a sin? Somebody feels that he has to do a chet? You ever heard what he says? It's really a crazy Gemara. Yilbosh shchorin, you should wear black clothes, cover yourself. Yechasa b'shchorin, that means you should cover up your head with a black hood, and go out to a town where no one knows you. It is if you can't get over the sin, you have to do this chet. You can't do anything about it. The Yitzhar is so strong. Go wear black, cover yourself in black, and says Rabbi Eloy, go out and do it where nobody will recognize you and nobody will know that you did something wrong. Go out, and then you'll feel so bad, you'll feel so guilty that you did it, you'll do tshuva and you'll come back. We don't paskin like Rabbi Eloy. That's not how we paskin. We don't paskin that way. We don't suggest that to people. That's the Amish way of doing things. When you turn 18, just go out, do whatever you can, get back here, we'll find you, we'll see you back. He's which one? Rabbi Eloy's reasoning is that since you're going to do the chait anyway, don't cause a chilul Hashem. Meaning, if you're going to go downtown and you're going to do something wrong, don't wear a kippah and tzitzis. Make yourself, dress yourself up as a non-Jew. If you're going to do something wrong, dress yourself up as a non-Jew. We don't pass, I don't want to pass this way. It's not a psak halacha. It's something that every rav has to realize for each person. But this is not how we advise people nowadays. But Rabbi Eloy does say it. Avraham Avinu told it over to Lot. And he said, Lot, I've got an idea. Do like Rabbi Eloy. Keep parid now me'alai. Leave me for a little bit. Get away from me for a little bit. Go do what your taivas are telling you to do. Go around. Go somewhere. Go figure it out. Go do something wrong. Wherever you want to go. You want to go to the right. You want to go to the left. Go somewhere. Go somewhere. Do what you need to do. Wear black clothing. Change your whole style. Change everything you're all about. Change and then come back. And then do tshuva and come back. But Lot misunderstood. He assumed that you can go there and it's mutter. So he went to Vegas. He went to Stone. There's no difference. Stone had all the sinners in the world in Stone. He went straight to Vegas, straight to the Strip, and went straight to everything. Just did everything he needed to do. Got everything out. A place where he knew nobody was going to learn from him. Stone was already terrible. There were already bad people. The people that were there were already roim v'chatoim ma'od. There were terrible people. They weren't going to learn from Lot. Lot was going to do the least of what the people of Stone did. But the problem was, once he thought that it was mutter, he didn't think he had to change clothing. And that was a big problem. You have to change that you feel guilty about it. He did it as he was. And then he sat there and he said, do I really need to do tshuva? I'll stay here and I'll be makar of these guys. And that was his problem. He got pulled in by the tumah so badly that he thought, I'll become their judge. Sodom has a need for judges. They make stupid decisions. So I'll be their judge. And that's exactly what happened. Lot became the judge of Sodom. He became the dayan of Sodom. That's what it was supposed to be when the malachim came down to Sodom. He decided that he's going to help them out. Avraham to help them. So don't you think I could help the people of Sodom? It was idiocy. It was lunacy. But that's what he thought. Because it was all through the eights of Avraham Avinu. Go and do what you need to do and then come back. Lot did it. He just never came back. That was the problem. The Mashiach says, Melchizedek Melech Shalem came out to greet Avram, you know, after he had defeated all the four kings. Anybody remember who Melchizedek Melech Shalem is referring to? Who it's referring to when it says him? I'm sorry? Close enough. Instead of a suf at the end of his name, Shem ben Noach. It says Melchizedek Melech Shalem hotzi lechem v'yayin u'koin le'el olam. Who brought up bread and wine. Melech Shalem, by the way, is Yerushalayim. Shalem comes from shame. Yirah was named by Yaakov. You know, Hashem, Yaakov, you know, called it Hashem Yerah. You put those letters together. Yerah, Aleph and Hey is Vav. Then Yerah, Shalem is Yerushalayim. That's where the name of Yerushalayim comes from. The combination of Yaakov and shame calling it those two names. So who coined the Elohim? He was a coin to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he blessed Avraham Avinu and he said, Baruch Abram L'Kel Elohim, Kodesh Shekonei Shemayim V'Aretz. Baruch Kel Elohim Hashem Migin Tzarecha, who protected you from your enemies. Migin Tzarecha V'Yadecha, put your enemies in your hands. V'Yitin Lo Maiser Mikol. And Avraham who gave him Meister. Chazal tell us that at that moment, the king, Melchizedek Melech Shalem, shame, gave his kahuna over to Avraham Avinu. And that the kahuna was now in the presence of Avraham Avinu. What happened? Who is Melchizedek and what did he do exactly? Melchizedek, shame, saw Avraham Avinu running after Lot against the four kings and said, what in the world is my Talmud doing? Avraham Avinu learned by shame behavior. Avraham Avinu learned by Noach. Noach was 50. Noach died when Avraham Avinu was 52 years old. He saw Noah. He learned by Noah. He learned by Shem. He learned by Aver. He disagreed with their derech. Shem, the Aver, and Noah derech was don't go out and don't ask anybody to find God. Find God on your own. They stayed in their cave and they learned by themselves. And if you came to them and you really wanted to learn, then they would accept you. Otherwise, they had nothing to do with you. Avraham went to them and he learned by them. And he saw that Avraham was running after Lot and he said, what is my Talmud doing? What in the world is my Talmud doing? He looked at Lot and he saw with his Ruach HaKodesh that Ammon and Moab were going to come from Lot. And he said, such evil nations. Nations that God doesn't want. God doesn't want Bnei Yisrael to mix in with. Ammon and Moab are going to come from them, those two evil nations. Avraham Avinu is saving Lot for them? Why would he go out and do that? But he knew that Avraham Avinu was a tzaddik. He knew that he was an unbelievable tzaddik. And therefore, he didn't stop him. He waited and davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and asked God to reveal to him what was going on. And what was going on was unbelievably tremendous. Avraham Avinu saw that it wasn't the... You're right. Lot and the men of Ammon and Moab are evil. Lot is evil, and he gave that idea to his children. His children were evil because of that. But there was good in the woman. The women were going to be good people. And there was going to be a Naamah Ammonis. There was going to be a Rustam Moabiah. And those two Prados Tovos, those two young doves, I guess you can call them, they're really female mules. But those two things that Avraham Avinu saw, it's worth to save Lot to get that Kedusha out of Sodom, out of Nimrod. It's worth it to be able to get these guys and bring them back because they can bring about Malchus based of it. Shame looked deeper and saw that, wow, Naamah and Rus are here. There's Kiddush here. Shame saw that he realized that Avraham Avinu was greater than him. He saw deeper than what he saw. Therefore, he benched him and he made him the Kohen. He said, you're the greatest person around. I'm no longer the biggest seer, the greatest man of Ruach HaKodesh. Avraham Avinu, you're the guy from now on because you saw much deeper than I did. The fact that you wanted to save Lot, I didn't even realize what they had. That also explains why Avraham Avinu didn't take any money from the king of Sodom. The king of Sodom said, Haruchush kach lach, take the money for yourself. And Avraham Avinu said, I lift up my hand and I swear to God, from a string, a shoestring, until any regular string, until a shoestring, I'm not going to take anything that's yours. I'm not going to take a single little bit. Only things that Aner Eshkol, Mamre, my men took, I'll let them have what they have, but I'm not going to take a single thing. I don't want you to say, Hashartzi es Avram, that you made Avram Avinu rich. He took money from Paro. He just took money from Paro. He took a lot of money from Paro. He became rich in Mitzrayim. He took a lot of money from Avimelech. Why wouldn't you take money from Melech Sodom? Why wouldn't it? Is Sodom any different? What's more evil than Mitzrayim? Granted, Sodom was very evil. But it's more evil than Mitzrayim. Why are you taking from Mitzrayim and from Avimelech, but you're not taking from Sodom? What's the point in not taking them? How could you reduce them? And not only that, it's a kasha the Ramban says it was one of the five chatoim of Avraham Avinu. One of the worst things that Avraham Avinu could have done. He said to the king of Sodom, take the men back. Take your people. Take all the people of Sodom and bring it back. What are you doing, Avram Avinu? These people need you. These people need to learn by you. You have the ability to have people of Sodom come to you and to learn from you. You're sending them back to Sodom. And what happened a couple years later? They were destroyed. Because they sinned enough to the point where they had to be destroyed. Avram Avinu, what were you thinking? Why didn't you take any of the people with you? Granted, okay, you don't want the money, don't take the money. I don't understand why it's different from a power, but don't take the money. But the people are perfectly there for you. Why are you doing it? Because the reason why is like this. Avram Avinu was doing this purely l'shem shamayim. Purely to find the kedusha that was there and bring it out. To find Nama and Rus and to bring it out. He wasn't going there for the money. He was afraid that people were going to say, you know why he went? Because the four kings took all the money of Sodom. Sodom was really rich, and Avram Avinu wanted more money. So Avram Avinu went to be able to get the money. That's the only reason why he fought. And that's the only reason why he tried to go help Lot. Maybe he's in it for the money. And Melchizedek Melech Sholem thought that also. And Shem also thought that. He looked at him and said, what's he doing? Is he going for the money? Why would he want to go save? Who cares that those five evil kings were destroyed by the four kings? What does that mean? They're evil. They're destructive. They're going to be killed anyway in a couple years. Those five kings. What's the difference? Let them die now. That's what Shem looked at it as. But Avram Avinu knew there's something there. There's Kedusha there. Avram Avinu did it purely l'shem shamayim to bring out the Kedusha. And if you do something for Kedusha, l'shem shamayim, you can have no hana. You can have no negius. You couldn't take a thing. That's why he refused anything from Melech Sodom. To show that he was purely doing it l'shem shamayim and with nothing else inside his head. And then we have Sarai Imenu. Sarai Imenu, one of the most enigmatic characters in all of Tanakh. We know her of her as being the greatest tzaddikist to have ever lived, and we know that, right? There's never been a greater tzaddik than Sarai. Never been a greater tzaddik than Sarai. So, tzaddikist, I should say. So what in the world was she doing? Punching Hagar and making her miscarry. Now, punching her, that might be a little bit extreme. What did she do exactly? The Pasuk says the following. After everything was said and done, right, he said, I'm going to be...
What are you talking about?
Hold on. Let's go right over here. V'sari yishnev ram lo yol delo. V'lo shifchas mitzuritz v'shma Hagar. He had a shifcha, her name was Hagar. V'tomer tzari el Avram. Sorry, said to Avram. He may not say, Rani Hashem yiledes. Bo na shifcha si. Hashem stopped me from giving birth. Be together with my shifcha. Ulai yibonem amena. Maybe I'll be built up from her. Seemingly, I'll have my own children, her schus. Yishma Avram lekol Sarai, and Avram Avinu listened to the voice of Sarai. Batikas Sarai Yishma Avram es Hagar Amitzus Shivchasam Iketzes Hashanim Leshevet Avram Baretz Kanaan. So he took her Batitzin Osel Avram Yishalu Leishal. Vayavo Hagar Batar Bateber. She became immediately pregnant. Vaterek Yorasa. She saw she was pregnant. Batekal Gvirta Beinel. And she looked down upon Sarai, her master. She looked down upon her. Batekal. She was a mekel in the kavod of Sarai Imenu. Batomer Sarai Avram. Chamas Yalach. I'm so angry at you, Avram Avinu. I know Kinesati Shivchasi. I gave you my shifcha. But Jericho Yarosa, you see, she's pregnant by Ikal Beinel. And now I'm nothing in her eyes. You spoke Shem Beinel Beinecha. God should judge between me and you. What did Avram Avinu do? I just did what you told me. You gave me your shifcha. You said you wanted me to have children with her. What did you want me to do here? That's Avram Avinu's line. By Yomer Avram, sorry. Your shifcha is in your hands. Asilo Atol Beinech. Do whatever you want to do. But to Aneha, sorry. She afflicted her. Chazal say she lost her child. Whenever it was. Because the child was born after this is Yishmael. She had another child. She got pregnant again. And then she had Yishmael. There's no child born here. She afflicted her. Vatibach miponem. She ran away. Sarai afflicted Hagar. Vatibach miponem. She ran away. That's when she found the Malach. And the Malach told her, go back. He says, where are you going? Mine Sarai Gvirti. I'm running away from Sarai. He said, Shuvio Gvirti. Go back, said the Malach. Vihis ani tachz yodel. And be afflicted. Go hurt yourself again. Make sure you're afflicted underneath her hands. What's the Malach telling her? Go get yourself beaten up, Sahagar. Just go back and let her beat you. Do whatever you need. First of all, Sarai Imenu, the greatest tzaddikus that we can imagine. There's no one like Sarai. This is what she did to her shifcha? What in the world is that? And number two, the Malach tells her to go back and get beaten? What in the world is that? So you have to understand something. In the pasuk where Sarai talks to Avram Avinu, Sarai says to Avram Avinu, says, first of all, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky says, five hafsakos. There are five parts in the pasuk in which you have to stop. It's the following. Chamasi alecha. Stop. Anochi nasati shukhasi bechekecha. Stop. In the trup, I'm saying. Batira ki arasa. Stop. Lo ikal beinel. Stop. Yishpor Hashem beni uvenecha. Stop. five times in the pasuk, while she is speaking, there's a part of the pasuk that means it stopped. Because Sarai found it hard to say the words out. I don't want to do this. Sarai was telling Avram Avinu, I don't want to say anything bad. I don't want to hurt anyone. But I don't have a choice. It's getting much, much worse now. And she kept stopping. She kept saying, I can't say this, but I have to. I can't say this, but I have to. I can't say this, but I have to. There's no other choice right now. She had to force herself to say it out. The Torah Shlema said, what did she do? So Avram Avinu gave her permission. Medrash Rabbah says three things. Refrained her from being together with Avram Avinu. Number one, from being together with Avram Avinu again. Number two, she threw shoes at her face. Shoes at her face, which was a sign of, obviously, displeasure. We know what the Arab world looks at that as now today. Number three, made her carry buckets of water to the bathhouse. The Medrash HaChepetz brings down, they made her guard the slaughterhouse. You're pregnant and you're sitting outside the slaughterhouse, not a very, very nice smell. Or she would grind up the wheat. She would work hard grinding up the wheat. That's what Sarai Aminu did. At the end of the day, she lost her baby. The Ramban says it was a chait, but Torah Shlomo says not so much. The Smag says if someone is ma'ana you first, you can be ma'ana them back. It's mutter to do so back. Harger did it first, so Sarai did it right back. Okay, granted. I hear that. I'm sorry? It's not called nekama. No, it's not called vengeance. That's what the Smag says. Paskins lo halacha. It's mutter to do it back. Mutter. Not just fine if you do it. Mutter. Regardless. This is Sarai Aminu. If I wouldn't have done this, I can imagine that Sarai wouldn't have done this. So why in the world would Sarai beat up Hagar? For what? What did she do? What was the problem? And the Tzav explains it, and it's absolutely unbelievable. This doesn't show you that Sarai was bad. This shows you how good Sarai Aminu was. The Medrash Rabbah actually says in Chayei Sarai, she was tamima b'maaseha. There was not one thing she did in her lifetime that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said that wasn't a good thing to do. Not one thing she did. Remember, she lied to Avram Avinu and said, lo tzachokti, I never laughed. She laughed at the nebuah that was said by the Malachim. And yet the Medrash says, tamima b'maaseha, she didn't do one thing wrong. And Rabbi Yochanan says on that Medrash, you ready for this? Kada egla tamimasa. She's like a very perfect young calf. Now, you never want to call a woman a cow. It's the last thing you want to call them. But a perfect young calf, what is that referring to? What does that mean? Here's the answer. The pasuk is telling her, she didn't do this out of kas, or out of kin, out of jealousy. Chas v'shalom, she would never do such a thing. But when she saw Hagar was mekel b'chvoda, she saw that Hagar was looking at Sarai and saying, Sarai, you're a tzaddikus, right? And yet, you've lived with Avram Avinu for over 50 years. We don't know how old she was exactly at this time. Let's assume Avram Avinu was 85, which means Sarai was 75. They got married when Avram Avinu was 25. They've been together for 60 years. 60 years you've been married. You're past your golden anniversary and you haven't been able to have kids. I was together with Avram Avinu once, and I became pregnant? Where's your God, Sarai? Where's God? Now, for normal people to hear such a thing, you hear that, and you're just like, okay, you know, obviously God has a plan and everything's all good. Sarai was such a tzaddikus. She heard somebody say something bad about God, and she became incensed. She couldn't hold it back. She couldn't handle somebody saying something bad about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. It wasn't about her. It was about, you're saying something bad about a Kadosh Baruch Hu. You're my student. I've been your teacher for over, I don't know how many years already. 10 years, 15 years, however long Hagar was together with Sarai. And you're saying this, you are my greatest student. I gave you to my husband because I thought you were such a great tzaddikus that you would improve by being together with Avram Avinu. And you do this. She became so incensed, and the pasuk, the Gemara says, Tainus Dav Dalet, Chai Tzorbami Rabban. To Rostov, if you see a Talmud Chacham getting angry, it's not him getting angry. The Torah is a flame, it's a fire, and it's the Torah that's burning up inside them. If you hear something like this, you should go crazy. You should beat that person up. You hear somebody making fun of a Kadosh Baruch Hu in front of your face, the fact that you don't get angry at such a person, the fact that you don't want to wring his neck, the fact that you don't scream at him, shows that you're lacking in something. How could you not argue and fight for the kavod of a Kadosh Baruch Hu? And Sarai Aminu was such, her teva, her nature was so full of love for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so filled with that Ish HaTorah, the Kinas Hashem that she had within herself, couldn't hold back. And when Hagar had said that, she said, I have to punish her. Sure, she was able to stop herself. She stopped herself a little bit. She said, Hagar, you did wrong. And she stopped herself. She wouldn't go all out and just immediately start beating her up and punching her in the face and start knocking out the baby. Granted, she didn't do that. She held herself back, but she said, this is something that you have to work on now. This is not something that anybody can say. You can't say things like that. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan said. Called an eglot mimasa, like a perfect calf. Like a perfect calf. There's a halacha that if an animal has kavana lahazik, intention to damage, it's karen. It's karen. We know that from Bava Kama. It's karen, you gotta pay. But if it just walks over something in the Rosh Hasharabin, even if it's playing, a little calf playing in the streets, you're not chayav for anything whatsoever. That's orcha. That's a normal thing to happen. And it's normal. You shouldn't have put your stuff in the Rosh Hasharabin. And a little calf playing in the street is a normal thing. They jump around, they jump. You're expected that they expect. That happens. That's the pshat. Sarah Yemenu was not kavana lahazik. She wasn't an axe goring Hagar. That's not what she was. She wasn't an axe saying, I want to damage this person for what she just said. It wasn't that. It was part of her whole nature. Her nature was to love God. Her nature was to love God so much out of her heracle, out of what she was used to. She said, how could you dare say such a thing? That's what she ended up doing. That's not chashev achet at all. That was part of her whole essence and being. That's what Sarah was all about. And that explains what she was doing in telling Hagar, you have to improve upon yourself. This is her student. This is her greatest student. Her Talmid Mufak. Talmida Mufaka. However you want to put it. And that's what he was going up against. She was going up against. That is an unbelievable answer. And it gets better with time. I thought, you think about it more and it gets there. So our summary is five different parts. Sur Me Rava Se Tov. First, Lech Lecha. Get out. And then, El Haaretz Asher Arecha, and that's the two parts of Avraham Avinu's life. Number two, Avraham was willing to bring Sarai to Mitzrayim because of the Malach, and what he saw, that's why he was willing to bring her down, and he wasn't worried. Lot, he was a tzaddik on the outside, and a rush on the inside. And because of the Chilul Hashem, he had to get rid of him. Avraham Avinu gave him the Eitzah of Rebbe Eloi, and said, go and do it, and then come back. But Lot didn't come back. Shame at a Shaila on Avraham Avinu, what are you doing? But now he's convinced that Avraham Avinu was even greater than him, and the riot is that he didn't take any money, because that shows he did it l'shem shamayim, not taking a little bit of money and not taking the people as well. Sarai versus Hagar. What was Sarai doing? She was naturally inclined to do so because this was her essence, this was her being. That's the concept of why she did it, and that's the end. So we'll stop with that for now, right, guys? Right now, guys, have a good Shabbos.